kid in that corner, he couldn't hear it, but for me, it was good.
I thought the sound was fine.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't hear it. Right, we've got Bill and we've got Mark Molinaro.
Mike to see if it is six ready.
All right, why don't we call the meeting to order if we could here? First item is citizen comments. Are there any? Seeing none, the next agenda item is reports to the chairman, and I have none. Are there any reports from any committee members?
Notice the bigger table.
It is.
So noted. Anything else?
Yes,
any
is.
Other reports? All right, we'll move on then to the approval of the minutes of April 12th.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Approval at 6:30.
Next item is the quarterly report from CABA.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Richard Rodenbeck on behalf of the Commissary Business Alliance.
Just how much your CAB is here for any battle.
I was just going to say that when we sent the report, we didn't have our newsletter finished at this time. At that time, so I brought some copies in case
anybody want a copy?
Go ahead.
For the new supervisors on the committee, just a brief overview. Commercial Area Business Alliance is Mercer County's economic development organization. Our mission is to promote economic development within the county. We do that through a combination of business retention, attraction for companies that might be looking to come to Mercer County, as well as some expansion projects within for businesses that are currently located within the county. That last item we do primarily by managing a pool of revolving loan funds that totals about $27 million. On the very first page of that report on the memorandum page, the items 3 through 6, that represents the 4 revolving loan funds that total about $13.5 million of that $27 million that we manage on behalf of the county. The EDA revolving loan fund is about 3.5, the county revolving loan fund is about 3.8, and the CKC is about 5.2, and the high impact loan fund is about $1 million, and that totals roughly 13.5. On the report itself, the first page there is just a recap of the activity that happened within the first quarter. The first couple of paragraphs there talk about our business retention and expansion program, and then that last or third paragraph down talks a little bit about the attraction efforts that are currently underway at CABA. I'm going to get into the business retention and expansion in more detail when I get to that part of the report. The next few paragraphs there are talking about the downtown revitalization effort that is currently underway, and the Lakota group that is doing the strategic plan on behalf of CABA and the downtown constituents. Just a brief note there that on Thursday, May 24th, between 7 and 9 p.m. at the Rody Theater, there's going to be the second community workshop where they're going to talk about certain economic development issues that came up in the first phase of the project, look at some possible directions that they could head, and then take additional community feedback before they issue a final report. At the bottom of that page, you can see that we did have some loan activity during the first quarter. The first item was a loan that was issued to Pacific Sands in the amount of $125,000. The company relocated from Racine down into Kenosha, and they are a manufacturer and seller of non-toxic earth health and child-friendly products for cleaning and personal hygiene. They recently leased what was a vacant 32,000 square foot building just off of Green Bay Road. And then on March 21st, we actually approved our first loan under the High Impact Loan Fund. And for the new members, the High Impact Loan Fund was established back in February of 2011. The county had bonded for some funds as part of the Chrysler project to help with some infrastructure improvements. When that did not materialize, the county looked for other ways to maybe use those funds from an economic development standpoint, and they created this High Impact Fund. In order for a borrower to qualify to use those funds, the high impact project that they would undertake would be either the creation of at least 50 full-time positions or else a capital investment of $3 million. The borrower would have 3 years to meet those requirements and then have a five-year maintenance period after that point in time. If the borrower met all the requirements, the loan would be forgiven or potentially forgiven, including accrued interest at that point. If they did not meet the requirements, they would be required to pay back a portion of that along with interest. And as I've noted here on the report, that we did approve our first loan under that program, and it was for $250,000 to Bradshaw Medical. They're looking at doing a significant expansion of people within their organization to meet demand for their product line. And then just on page two is a quick recap, and that'll be a running total there that will show you what we've done so far from a loan standpoint. You can see there both the Pacific Sands and the Bradshaw Medical projects are listed. The next page is just a list of the business retention visits that our Director of Economic Development, Brian Rademacher, has done since January 1st. And then those visits and the information that he's gathered has been included in the report, which is the next couple of pages that follow there. And just a quick overview, that business retention report is running through the end of February. As of that point in time, we've had 56 visits where Brian's gone out and collected information from the various companies. As of today, though, the number of visits he's conducted is up to about 74. That information will be included in our next report. The first part of that page there talks about the types of businesses that have been interviewed as well as the industries that they represent. At the bottom of the page is just a brief couple of bullet points in regards to the sales and the expansion activity that's going on with those companies. On the next page, in the middle of the page, there's a couple bullet points about the workforce and how the employers here in the area view the availability, the quality, stability, and productivity of our workforce. And right in the middle there is a quick workforce rating. That scale is based on a range of 1 to 7, with 7 being the best. So you can see that from a stability and productivity standpoint, we place very well within the county. And then the availability and quality is a little bit above average. At the bottom of the page there is just a quick pie chart that shows employment needs. And you can see based on there that the employers report that they either have stable needs or they're increasing. And then also to the right there, just a quick little list of the shortfalls or where they see shortages in skilled labor. And through my visits and discussions with borrowers, I know that the skilled production labor, like CNC operators, is highly in demand, and there does not seem to be enough of availability out there. On the next page is just another quick short snapshot of how businesses view the Kenosha County area, or essentially a SWOT analysis, looking at the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Again, there's a small chart there that rates the services on a scale from 1 to 7. And as you can see, they rate the public service, educational services, and transportation fairly high, as well as business services. Community services are well above average. And then at the bottom of that page, just a couple of words on the open issues that were brought up in those visits, as well as any items that were discussed for needs of those businesses, for instance, like workforce training issues or technical college services and promoting milestones or successes of those businesses. Our Director of Economic Development asked that I mention to the supervisors that if you know of any businesses who might be interested in having an interview and contributing to this information, to give our office a call, and we would definitely go out and schedule a meeting. And then I guess just to wrap up, I'll go through quickly on the revolving loan funds. The next page is just a recap of the cash account for the EDA revolving loan fund. You can see that there was a beginning balance of about $263,000. We did receive a payoff in March, which is included in the loan principal and interest received, so that bumped the balance back up. At the end of the quarter, we had about $670,000 in availability. On the next page, you can see a list of all the borrowers that have a loan within the EDA revolving loan fund. And I'm happy to report that there are no past dues with any of those borrowers. The next page is the county revolving loan fund. From there, we had a balance at the beginning of the quarter of about $780,000. Again, we had a payoff in this revolving loan fund as well, an early payoff. But we did have some disbursements, but at the end of the day, we had a balance of about just shy of $1 million. The $200,000 commitment there is to Offsite LLC, which is a firm on the north side of town that does disaster recovery and data services for businesses. And we did actually start funding out of this revolving loan fund for them this month, so there's only a balance of about $165 left there to fund. The next page is a list of the borrowers that have loans in the county revolving loan fund, and again, there are no past dues when we get those borrowers. The next one is the CKC revolving loan fund. We started with a balance of about $1.6 million, and currently at the end of the quarter, we have a balance roughly the same amount. And that commitment there is referencing the Wilmont loan out for the tubing run that's being built out to Wilmont Mountain. That's essentially done, and we're just waiting for some wrap-up payments on the construction side. The CKC list on the next page is, again, the borrowers that have a loan with that revolving loan fund. And again, no past due loans with that revolving loan fund. And then the last couple of pages are just the high impact loan fund, and you can see that we still have a balance there of just a little bit over $1 million. As I had mentioned, the Bradshaw Medical has a pending loan, and once our documentation is complete, we will be funding that loan. And then the last page is just a quarterly update as we track those requirements for job creation or capital investment. The committee asked that we report out on that, so you'll see that the status report will be included on all future quarterly reports. That's all I had to report out, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that the supervisors might have.
John?
Just on the transportation infrastructure, where are we with the bus systems getting out to places like Pleasant Prairie and things like that? Is that factored into this?
I don't know if the businesses have that kind of information. I think what Brian has collected is how those businesses view the transportation infrastructure and whether it meets their needs. I don't know if there's been any definitive discussion as to whether or not, you know, the services is out there or meeting the business's needs. I think it was more of a general type. You know,
you're not feeling that as a deterrent at this point?
I would have to maybe check with him and report back to the supervisors if there were any specific issues identified from a transportation standpoint.
I think you're referring to like when service was cut to Lakeview Corporate Park and the transit cuts and potential impact on business. I mean, the time when the service was reduced, I think there was a pretty extensive discussion about what kind of impact is this going to have, and I think there was an effort made by Lakeview Corporate Park companies to kind of assess that. Frankly, the way that the service ran, there weren't a whole lot of companies subscribing to it. The times, the schedule didn't necessarily meet real well with the needs of the companies there and their shift times and their start times. So it was kind of one of those things where the service wasn't that robust to begin with, so not a lot of companies or their employees were taking advantage of it. So the loss of the service to Lakeview Corporate Park hasn't had a massive negative impact just because of the fact it wasn't being that heavily utilized to begin with.
Okay. Anyone else on the copper report?
Just a question on the last page here. This is the 152 is the total number of jobs now. Just how to read this in the future when you get status updates?
No, that would be the total after they meet the requirements for.
These are like
right
what?
Right now they have about 102.
Okay, so they have to create 50 to get
at a minimum.
All right.
They could create more depending on their need, but at a minimum they have to do the 50. And that's why I'm going to report out on a regular basis where they're at in that process, and that's what this last page will do.
And the same thing with the capital, is that what they have to?
That actually, they've chosen to, their project is going to be the number of jobs created. I included the capital as just an additional item because they will be buying a lot of CNC equipment, and that's what new employees will be manning going forward. I just put that there just so that the community would know that there are some capital investments, but that will not be
required. Okay.
To get to 3 million.
Any other questions, comments? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming. Thank you. The next items on the agenda are the resolutions regarding the various notes and obligations, starting with number 7, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we have Mr. Mike Kerrigan with us today, and he can walk us through the reports. I do have additional reports if anybody needs one, or if there's anyone in the room that would like a report.
Mike, welcome. I think you, do you know everyone?
I'm not sure that I do. I
Aaron Kohlmeier, Ron Frederick, you know Ed Kubicki, you know Mark Molinaro, John O'Day, and we've met before.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
The only thing I'll say is I finished. I think everyone that would like a report has one. And what we're doing here today is we're planning and scheduling for the bonds that were already authorized as part of the budget. So you already approved the bonds. You've already approved the budgeted items, so the budget's been approved. There's one item here that we're seeking approval for the first time, and that's a refunding. Mike will walk us through that, so that's a new item. Everything else you've already seen, and it's coming from the 2012 budget. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mike, and then if I need to chime in on any part of it, we'll do some teamwork here.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's good to be back. Before I get into the meeting report, I just want to give you a little briefing on the state of the market again. We seem to, every time I come here, it seems like these interest rates stay lower and get lower. I don't know how that happens. At some point, there is a bottom, but we haven't seen it. Take a look at the last page of my report. There's a graph in there. And the graph I usually bring with this, and it just shows where the interest rates for municipal bonds have been over the past year. And the two low points on this graph that occurred earlier this year in February were the 40-year low historic point for municipal debt. Come up a little bit since then, but the yellow line there is the average for the year. We're back down well below that again, and we'll see where things go. But because of that condition, we again reviewed all of the county's outstanding indebtedness to see if there was any opportunity for you to save some money through the refinancing. We did find one that meets your parameters under your debt policy for pursuing that, so we're bringing it to your attention. We have, as part of this report and your resolutions that are before you, called for two separate resolutions to be adopted. One in the amount of $2,810,000, and the other one is $16,075,000. I'm going to walk the narrative part here on pages 2 and 3 and 4. I'm going to discuss as we go through the numbers, and I'll come back and touch on a couple of things. But I was directed to page 6 of the report because this kind of lays out what the borrowing is for within the context of the plan going out through 2016. So what we're looking at on page 6 are the two columns on the far left. And so there, the first column, we have, if you look at the bottom line, you'll see that $2,810,000 number. And so in there, that's the issue that's being undertaken specifically and solely for the purpose of financing the balance of costs associated with the courthouse project. So that that cost is the $2,750,000, along with the fees. The net amount is $2,810,000. That'll be a 20-year bond issue. And obviously we're financing it over the longer period because of the nature of what the purpose is and the longer useful life of the project. The second column is the general obligation note issue, and that is a 10-year issue, being financed 10 years. And the purposes there are the countywide fighter D ring for $900,000, some road work for about $3.2 million, and then the various capital equipment budget items that you had approved as part of your capital budget in the fall of this past year. $7 million and change. $12,050,000, and then there was the $500,000 for some additional funds for the Cava High Impact Development Fund. And then the remaining balance of that, other than the costs, are the $3,350,000 less the funds on hand for the refinancing of your 2008 notes. And I'll explain what we're projecting for savings on that in a second. If you look at page 7 of the report, this is just examining the note issue to show you that within that issue itself, we've got the capital projects part, the new money part, stretching out the full 10 years. But then the refinancing part is just stretching out only as far as it takes to refinance the existing debt that's out there. So we're not stretching that debt out at all. It's just matching the principal that's coming due anyway. So that's what's happening. On page 8, we have the schedule that shows what we're estimating to be the savings that could occur as a result of refinancing. So on the left side, you can see these GO notes. We're not refinancing maturities up through 2015. It's the 16, 17, and 18 maturities that are being refinanced. And if you follow that over to the right, you'll see that the interest rates we're estimating on that range from a 0.45 to a 1.43%. And comparing the old total debt service to the new total debt service on the far right column, you'll see that there's an estimated savings ranging from about $20,000 to $24,000 each year. That's about $135,000 in future dollars and $104,000 in what it's worth in today's money. It constitutes about 3.4% of the principal being refunded. And you had adopted a policy as part of your debt management policy that said that you would consider an advance refunding if the savings would exceed 2% of the principal being refunded. So this seems to meet that parameter, and the dollars are projected here that would get you that. If we were actually in the market today, based on sales we've had this week, we'd beat these numbers anyway. So hopefully we'll be in the same place when we get to the sale point. Page 9, then, is really kind of, again, the, I call it the master plan. Pages 9 and 10 are one long spreadsheet that we put on two pages so you can see the numbers there. This is your overall game plan for debt management. And what it shows on the left, very far left of page 9, is your existing principal and interest payments on debt that's already on the books. So you can see that, for example, in 2012, you've got a $14,352,000 total payment that's being made. And then that amount drops each year as you go forward. The $16,075,000 notes are in the blue column, and then we've got the courthouse work in the yellow column. Those are the two issues you're doing as part of this resolution. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the next two columns to the right.
Yeah.
The 2012 issues. And then, as part of your plan, we've also plotted out estimated borrowings out through the year 2017, actually all the way through 2020, if you go to the next page. We're tracking this all the way out through the year 2020. And we know that, of course, these numbers are always subject to annual review by the Finance Committee and by the County Board, but this is done so that you can begin to see whether or not, given your average level of borrowing going forward, you would be able to continue to meet the constraints or parameters that you put on yourself to manage your debt. And you may recall that last year when the plan was presented and developed, the administration, the county executive, and the staff ended up having to cut back on some estimated projects because of the need to stay within certain debt parameters that you have established. And so that's the plan that's before you here. We haven't changed anything since last fall. Take a look at page 10. This is just the second part of that same spreadsheet. You've got them some offsetting revenues there. The red numbers are good things in this case because that's money coming in. That's the IRS money coming on those Build America bonds that offsets some interest. And then we've got the total levy amount indicated in the blue column divided by your equalized valuation is what your tax rate would be projected to be for debt going forward. And where we are is about $1.07. We would go up to about $1.20 if everything was done within this plan all the way out through 2020. Now, another thing that I wanted you to be aware of, and we've kind of covered this in the past, these numbers are a lot depend on a lot of assumptions, but one of the assumptions is the rate of growth of your tax base. And if you take a look at page 11, on the far right side, we're kind of using this as the model for estimating future city or county tax base growth. And we've seen some decline in recent years in the tax base. And we've had some very strong growth there for a while. Our average over 5 years is about still a positive 3.89%. But going forward over the next couple of years in consultation with the finance director and the staff, we have continued to show some decline in the tax base. Just to hopefully be a bit conservative, then hold it flat 3 years out, and then only after that begin to ratchet it up slightly. So if the numbers, obviously, if they're worse than this, our estimates on tax rate won't be as good. If they're better, then they will. And we kind of can play with that as we go forward in the future. Page 12 is kind of a sheet that's interesting because it helps you look at some of those parameters that I mentioned that you had established and see where the plan goes in terms of probably one of the more important ones is the overall debt burden. And I've highlighted in yellow in there, you have set a target of not wanting to exceed a debt burden factor of 0.7%. Now, what is that factor? How is it calculated? What that is you you take the total amount of principal of debt outstanding and you divide that by your tax base, your county's total tax base, and that yields a factor. Under the state constitution, you can never go over 5%, 5.0%. You are currently at about 0.7, or will be under 1%, and you've said you don't want to exceed that number in going forward. So all the plans that you've got here are tailored to try to make sure that that's not going to be the case, that you stay within that parameter. And you can see that here. We also have a target for debt per capita, and we're a little bit over, but not too much on that one. It's about a 530 target. We have the factor on the far right that relates to the percentage of expenditures for debt, and you've set a target not to exceed 15%. There you're way under, just a little over half of that, at about 7-8% in those ranges. And so overall, you're managing it quite well. I know it's a bit long-winded, but you know it's always I think helpful. I like to at least when coming before the finance committee for these kinds of presentations before your first borrowing, at least take the time to go over some of those things and give you a chance to ask me questions about it or talk about some of the policies that you've got in place. But I think the plan is still very sound, still consistent with what you've done last fall. And so the resolutions are there. If you adopt them, we'll go to the county board on Tuesday with these. The county board approves it on Tuesday, then that sets in motion. We would expect to make presentations to the credit rating agencies on the 30th and 31st of May, and then have the bond sale on the next meeting.
Mark?
A couple of questions, and I apologize for missing the COBBA presentation. This may have been covered. That was before the City Plan Commission with a client. I see the $500,000 for the high impact fund in here. Mm-hmm. The discussion was that we would not bond for that money, as I recall, unless it was requested. The additional funding was requested from CABA through use and expenditure of the current dollars that they have in place. And I know they have had some commitments relative to that fund. Where does that stand, and where are we at with this $500,000?
We did. I can respond.
Go ahead.
We did structure that in such a way that if the executive looked at that, and then in collaboration with CABA, there was a need for the money, that's the way it was worded, then we would issue that money. And based on my discussion with CABA, and you know they've already committed $250,000 of it, and with several projects that they have on the docket, and the fact that we have this window at very low interest rates, and we wouldn't be issuing until about another year from now if we did want to get that money, it looks like now would be a good time to get the money.
If we held off, you're saying now it would be potentially a year before we went out.
Yeah, it wouldn't be worth it just to borrow a $500,000 issue cost, and then taking into account where interest rates are, and also taking into account so many projects that they have on the docket. I think now would be a good time to do it. I think we satisfy that condition that was in the resolution.
Okay, that addresses that question. The we are carrying, you made a comment, Mike, that I didn't quite catch. I didn't want to interrupt you at the time. We are matching the refinance, I think you were talking about, term with the current term?
Yes.
And if that's, in fact, what you're referring to as refinancing, I guess the question I have then is why we don't look to shorten that term up in addition to saving some dollars.
Well, two things, and Dave may want to amplify on this one as well, but our standard approach to examining a refinancing is to examine it in the context of its current structure, because oftentimes it's certainly easy to demonstrate the savings in almost any environment if you're shortening the maturities and moving the principal up. Because you're not paying interest over as long a period of time, and because then you're pushing the maturities into the early years where the interest rates are lower on the yield curve, you're going to save significant money by that technique.
Sure.
So it's not an apples-to-apples comparison on your debt service. The other part of it has to do with the overall structure of the county's debt and the desire to manage the tax rate impact in the context of the new money that you're also bringing on. Because we are adding new dollars now as part of the new borrowings, that the room, if you will, to do that within the targeted tax rate would be chewed up by shortening maturity on existing debt and make it more difficult to pay off the new debt in a more timely fashion if you still wanted to meet the same parameters on tax rate. So this is kind of a little bit of a balloon. If you push it in here, it'll come out somewhere else. But our objective, absent other direction, you can always shorten it up. But our approach, absent that direction, was to keep it on its existing schedule, not to stretch it out or to shorten it, but only bring it in if we could save dollars to meeting the existing parameters, and then use that capacity that you have because of the fact that you're paying off existing debt to allow you to accommodate new debt without it having a big impact on the taxpayers.
Well, and I bring it up for a couple of reasons. One, you know, I'm certainly supportive of our debt burden limitation at 0.7%, but the truth of the matter is we are there in 2012, and we're going to stay at that cap through 2016 at a minimum. And I go back to, it was probably County Executive Keel at the time. We had a debt reduction plan that was in place that shortened up our debt, restructured our debt, and aggressively looked to pay that down. And as I look at the numbers here, and you know, this isn't the first time I've brought this up, it continues to carry out further and further. Certainly, if you look at our CIP that's out there, and we look at every budget and throughout the year, that isn't getting any less burdensome in terms of the work and the projects and the capital we'd like to spend. So I'm not sure, I don't recall the specifics of why we got away from that aggressive debt repayment. I know it had something to do with our ability to pay, something to do with the rating, something to do with just in general where our debt burden was at the time to the taxpayer. But I think we should be cognizant of that. And we should recognize that this 0.7%, at least from my standpoint, is not gonna, it's not on the table. Meaning, I won't entertain making a change to that. And I certainly want to be looking longer term at what we can do to reduce our debt instead of just continuing to say, well, we have the ability to put it out X number of years, and we should. And then we get caught up in the fact that there's $104,000 in real savings today, or $134,000, almost $135,000 over time. I understand that, but at the same time, you're putting this debt out until, on a $2 million borrow, $2.8 million borrow, you're putting that debt out until 2032. So it is a little bit of push the balloon here, and it comes out there. And
is that it? I might want to address that. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Can
you turn to page 7?
I think that's. I am.
The refinancing portion, that's what you're referring to.
Well, I kind of bundled everything together. But go ahead.
I misunderstood. I thought you were referring only to the refinancing.
No, I'm going back and forth. If you look on page 9, I'm looking at this $2.8 million.
Yeah, that's the courthouse.
That's the courthouse project. You know, we're taking a $2.8 million expenditure and pushing it out to 2032. That just doesn't seem to make much sense to me. Now, I realize that's part of a bigger expenditure. Would we spend $5 million on that building?
The about two six.
About six?
Six.
So where are we at with the other four, or other 3.2?
That's our. We borrowed that last year.
I understand that. Is that also out to 2032?
Yeah, they're both on a 20-year bond. Right?
2031.
Mm-hmm. So that is a bit of a concern for me. And let me just take a quick look here. I think that was all I had. Of course, as always, your information and explanation is well done. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? All right, seeing none, then why don't we vote individually here. First is the number 7, the refunding.
Finance?
Yes. Somebody want to move to?
I'll move.
Second?
Mark, motion is made by Supervisor Frederick, second by Supervisor Molinaro to approve the resolution. It's about 7:07.
Any further discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'll distribute the document, and there's several copies that need to be signed. All right. With, please. Thank you.
All right. We'll go on to number 8, the courthouse project.
Rule.
Second.
That was by the
motion
supervisor.
Was made by Molinaro, seconded by O'Day at about 7:08.
Further discussion on that? Is that only courthouse there, Mike?
The 2.8 million is for the bond for the courthouse, right?
Strictly that's it.
Though. Right. That's the second half of the courthouse. We're kind of paying ourselves back. Most of the work was done already.
Nice spell.
No other discussion?
Where'd you get the money?
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Passed. Opposed? No.
Same on this one, several five copies.
All right. And then the final resolution, the $12,740,000 general obligation notes, 10 years for a series of items under the 2012 capital budget.
Motion to approve.
Supervisor Kubicki, and second by who?
Molinaro.
Molinaro. Further discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Dave, perhaps we've concluded that they've all passed, but I think maybe for the edification of some people who are new, why are we, did we lengthen out the repayments of the debt?
While we looked at our current program, we saw that we were, that the schedule of the rapidity with which we paid the debt off was very quick. And by going out 10 years instead of 8 years, we still pay 87% of our debt off within 10 years, so it's still satisfactory. So we're able to accomplish it, accomplish what we wanted to do without having such a hit on the tax levy. And the other part of that is interest rates are very low, so there's less of an interest rate impact. So we're able to get done what we wanted to get done, not as much of an impact on the levy, and we're doing it at a time of very low interest rates. So.
And we've done it a couple, 2 years ago?
Maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So.
I just thought that'd be of interest to you. While we'll just proceed then with the agenda, and the next item is number 10, the Sheriff's Assistance Grant. Michael, thank you.
Thanks.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For those who don't know me, I'm Lieutenant Mark Krug from the Sheriff's Department. Tonight I bring forth a resolution for the Sheriff's Department to accept $14,420 allotted to us from the Justice Assistance Grant. This has been around since 2004. We've received allotments each year since then. We applied for this grant jointly with the Police Department, the Township Police Department, and this year the total allotment was $36,050, and our allotment was $14,420. Our intent is to purchase equipment for the department and community with these funds. We're looking at upgrading 6 more automatic external defibrillators. With those 6, that should just about put one in about every patrol squad. I think we might be 1 or 2 short. Last year we purchased 70 LED flashlights. This year we're looking to add to that with these funds. They're a longer life and better illumination. Also, we're looking at purchasing a computer software program for crime scene and accident reconstruction. It's a computer-assisted specialized diagramming program. It creates 3D images or 3D diagrams. Offers 3D animation and viewing. It's something comparable. I've never seen the show of CSI, but it's something what juries see on those shows. It's also going to save time for the investigators in entering the pertinent information and measurements. It quickly analyzes and illustrates the crime scene. The current software they're using was purchased in 2005. It's two-dimensional, and there aren't any updates available. So it's pretty antiquated. There's no local match involved in this, and no additional levy dollars. With that, I thank you for your time and ask for your passing on this resolution.
All right. Excuse me. Thank you. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, the chair would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Supervisor Kubicki and seconded by Supervisor, was that Frederick?
Kohlmeyer.
Further discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously, and we'll circulate again the resolution. And this was passed by Judiciary and Law Enforcement this week, is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
All right, the next item on the agenda would be item number 11, the Public Works sole source purchase on the exterior court lights, and that's going to be done by
Frank.
All right, fine, thank you. Go ahead.
The resolution for the sole source came about that Rude Lighting in Racine has a LED division called Beta, and they're providing for Kenosha and Racine government entities special pricing, discounted pricing for buying these lights direct. If we sent this out to bid with the regular bid for next to the lighting, we can not get that pricing if a contractor were to buy them. It's only if we buy them directly through Beta, in this case their division, and their parent company now, Cree, which bought them. So after researching this with the lighting engineer, we hired going through several different types of lights and realizing that LED with the energy efficiency and longevity of life, and these are unique lights. They're low profile. They won't stick out or be as intrusive as the ones we have now. And again, the low energy, and these turned out to be the best recommendation. Next closest one that we could find was substantially more. These are about $550 a piece with our discount. The next closest type of light is almost $900. So in this case, we thought it was prudent to bring this to the board to have a sole source to take advantage of this discount.
Discussion?
I have one question.
And
I appreciate the report. The question I do have for you on these LED lights, what's the cost of replacement of one of those lights?
Well, the actual individual light itself?
Yes.
That's a very good question. I'll pass this around so that the members can actually see. There is probably 28 lights total, 28 individual LED lights total on this.
Yes.
And they're mounted on two separate boards. If you look at it from the top view there, it's the left-hand and right-hand side. So if one of those go out, if one of those individual LEDs go out, you'd have to replace the whole board, the one side of the board. Having said that, I'd have to get back to the committee on how much that would actually cost, but the expected lifetime of your lights is in the range of 20,000 hours, which is substantially more than any other light. So we're talking years.
I'm fine with that. I was just curious on what the replacement cost is on that particular lighting.
So I'd have to get back to the committee with that question.
So what does 20,000 hours look like as far as what you... I mean, that's like how many years out?
Correct. We've got 20,000 hours, and if the lights are on for, let's say, 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the 17,000 hours. 17,000 days, excuse me. 365 days a year. So that's almost 5 years.
I'm okay with it.
The less longer you live.
Yeah.
All right, further discussion? I'd entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Supervisor Molinaro with a second by Supervisor Kubicki. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It passes, and we'll circulate the resolution and then move on to the next item on the stewardship grant. And Ray and John, you're going to do that?
7-7.
Our official 10 people here.
He's a numbers guy.
He's a numbers guy. I can't tell him time. Thank you.
Sorry. I believe that. Is that the one that came late?
Mr. Chairman, I'm hoping that everybody got this in their packets.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, did
you get a
chance to
email that
to him?
What is it?
It gives a nice overview of the whole project.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the sewer line? I see this document here dated 5-4.
Yep. Yep, that's it, Dave. Because I can just walk through that. I think it does a good job of giving an overview of the whole thing, and then he's talking about some of the specifics from there. But basically, in the last 6 weeks or so, we were made aware of the fact that four parcels of land
I didn't have anything.
Okay.
We have some couple
of... Does anybody need a copy here?
Does anybody need a copy?
No, just... let's see it.
Go ahead.
That's all right.
Basically, there's four parts of the property that came to our attention about six, 8 weeks ago. That border, KD Park, on the western part, that we're in a distress situation. They're available to Calmer Bank. We met with the bank representatives to learn more about the parcels and determine what their asking price was. Then contacted the DNR to see if any of the properties would be eligible for stewardship grant funds. I think most of the committee is probably aware how the stewardship grant fund program works. It's basically run through the DNR, and the concept is that they will offer generally up to a 50% match for a purchase of properties to be used as parkland. And that's how the KD Park, the original parkland, was procured, as well as a number of other things, or quite a number of other things, including Kemper Center, and many other visible park things have been used. We've used stewardship grants to get those. The way that it is set up, the stewardship grant application, the cycle, was due 5-1 last week. Bottom line is we contacted the DNR and said, hey, we're not going to be able to get, because in order to apply for a stewardship grant, it's one of the few grants where you have to get board approval beforehand to apply for it. What the DNR said was you can't waive the date that the grant is due, so if you're going to make application, but get us a letter of a resolution of support from the board afterwards if the board is in fact supported this. So we've got the grant application in, 5-1. It's a 300-plus page document that we put together. And now we're following through. We went to the Public Works Committee Monday night with this resolution, land use, Wednesday night, and we're here before the Finance Committee tonight, basically seeking, fundamentally, the resolution is to apply for the stewardship grant fund. That being said, we wanted to kind of lay out the whole enchilada as to what we're looking at doing here. And of the four parcels, three of the parcels would be really make sense to apply for stewardship grant monies. And the three parcels are, if you look at the back page, if you've got this work, there's a map that identifies the three parcels. And there's at least one there. And I think Bernie may have a picture of the map.
I know what I need to see.
In any event, there's four parcels of property. The first parcel is the northernmost parcel. There's nothing on it other than some ag land. It was a mining operation. And there is a large amount of broken up asphalt and concrete from when the state resurfaced Highway 50. All of this land used to be part of Powers Lake Construction. That's what this entity was. They filed for bankruptcy, and the bank basically repurchased this property earlier this year. So the first parcel is the biggest, 66 acres. The second parcel is 24 acres. That is largely it was part of the mining operation as well. The third parcel is 10.82 acres, and that is the property that has the actual, what was the construction operation itself. There's a building that you can see on the map. That's where the buildings were. The stewardship grant funds will not, you cannot use them for any buildings. So basically what we've done is we've packaged lot parcel 1, parcel 2, and parcel 3, the land only, as what we would like to apply for stewardship grant, stewardship funds. The fourth parcel is not, we're not looking to pursue any stewardship funds there. That comes into play for another reason. We weren't even aware that parcel was available until we sat down with the bank and they made us aware that parcel was available as well. That parcel's been on the Planning and Development Department's and the Highway Department's radar for, I won't say decades, but quite a while. If you, again, if, I'm hoping everybody had a chance to look at the map. Highway F, it has been on Sewer PAC's drawing board and ours for a number of years. Gary tells me that some of the stuff Sewer PAC does on their drawings, as they're updated every so often, a lot of stuff falls away and new stuff gets added. This is one feature that he remembers being on there and never being taken off, because if we're able to reroute County Highway F in the manner shown here, this piece of property being a key piece to getting that done, it would then create a contiguous Highway F from Walworth County all the way to Paddock Lake, which is one of the things that, that regionally makes sense to do. It provides a true alternative route to Highway 50 in the event of an emergency situation or just an alternative route to Highway 50. And our ability to get that property, or at least get a substantial easement through that property to create that highway, was always the hang-up. Now, actually, the highway runs through two of these pieces of property that we're talking about, but this would allow us to seriously consider putting that alternative Highway F straighten the route out, basically. So those are the four pieces of property. Again, the stewardship
grant doesn't look straight to me.
We're applying for the three pieces to the north.
But you got
to
get from
the one piece would be on its own. What we tried to do then was lay out a spreadsheet that kind of details how the whole thing would work financially. That spreadsheet was put together by Mr. Cupfer, who I think everybody on the committee probably knows, had a fairly serious health incident a couple weeks ago. Okay, in case you didn't. He has had surgery and is doing very, very well. I can see some of you didn't.
I didn't know.
He had a pretty bad, he actually
Six.
Caught it as the heart attack was happening. No heart damage. Six arteries were replaced. And he's at home, resting good. He sent me a smart aleck email today, so he's
must be fine,
doing it okay. Yeah. So he put this together, but I think I know it well enough to walk through it. Basically, at the top, it shows that for parcels 1 and 2, those two northernmost, those total 90-plus acres of land, the appraisal that the bank had done about a year ago when they were first... the company went into this financial turmoil. The appraisal had valued those two properties at $450,000. Parcel 3, which is the part that has the buildings on it, the appraisal separated those two things out. The land was appraised at $150,000. The buildings were actually appraised at substantially more than that. We plugged in the shop and office buildings as just $100,000, and I'll kind of explain that in a second here. So, in parcel 4, that 10.6 acres with that beautiful pond on it, the appraisal price, given current market conditions, $110,000. So, the total purchase price for the whole thing is $810,000. Stewardship grant, which will only cover 50% of parcels 1, 2, and 3, that's the 450 and the 150, 600, that's how we come up with $300,000, is what we're anticipating to get as stewardship funds if they approve it. It could be slightly less, because one of the things the bank has requested is that we get a fresh appraisal. Their appraisal was a year old. Those are the numbers we used to put this thing together. We're in the process of getting that appraisal. The appraisal is probably, John got somebody on board, I think, 2 weeks ago now. They're talking 40 to 45 days to get us an appraisal, because they're doing such a business, as those in real estate probably know. So that number is the number we applied for on the grant itself, but it may change.
What's the total for the current grant? Appraisal what's the total for the grant again?
$300,000.
Okay.
That's what we're applying for. So the net purchase price, getting that grant, would be $510,000. The projected savings, the things that we think are fair to consider in the whole context of this deal is, on the property, as I indicated, from when the state redid Highway 50, evidently Powers Lake Construction was the company that got all of that broken up concrete and asphalt. They stored it there. It has not been crushed. It's just broken. Cost to crush, we got estimates. Gary put together estimates of about $74,000. What that stuff would be worth on the market in today's price is $147,000. Did the same calculation for that concrete. The big savings are in our SIP currently, because the Fox River repair facility, maintenance facility we've got, is, I'm going to say, structurally deficient, and it's been in the SIP for a number of years. We were going to start the engineering next year, and I think construction was hopefully going to take place in 14. That estimated cost for that whole project is $512,000. We wouldn't have to do that because if we were able to put this all together, because the maintenance facilities that they've got, the Powder Lake Construction had, would actually be substantially more than what John would envision needing for the West End. In addition to that, as part of the KD Park maintenance, or KD Park plan, again, it wasn't in the SIP, that this was not in the SIP, but it was part of the master plan. They anticipated having to put some type of basic maintenance facility as part of that park at some point, who knows when, but at some point, to take care of the KD Parklands itself. They estimated that, the master planners we had helped us put that together, estimated the cost of that building at $300,000. That would not be needed because the facility that currently exists, the old Powers Lake Construction Building, would cover those needs as well. That lot number four, the land that we would need to put the Highway F through there would pretty much bisect that property, and we'd end up with two really nice residential lots, one with a pond, and I think they'd be between 3 and 4 acres each. We're conservatively estimating that those properties would be worth, for residential use, at $125,000. Out, you know, 3 years out or whatever, 5 years out. Savings from not having to purchase Highway F right-of-way through those two parcels, Parcel 4 and Parcel 3, estimated at $80,000. We had to put a shop yard around the whole thing just to secure the area, $27,000. Building repairs. The building would need to be cleaned up. There'd have to be some stuff brought up to speed from an OSHA standpoint, it appears to us on our initial walkthrough. $50,000. Cost of the appraisal, which is taking place right now, is $5,000. General area cleanup, there is a ton of construction material there, some of which would be of use to John's operation as well as Gary's operation. Culverts, tile, structural steel, and we pretty much project what we need of that stuff for about 5 to 8 years out, inventory that, and scrap all the rest, just to get the whole thing cleaned up. So subtotal, putting all that together, it brings about $1 million of value to the table. Net inflow, when you roll the whole thing up, it really brings about $500,000 to the table when you play the whole thing out. It really, it's one of those rare opportunities where you can kill multiple birds with one stone. It really, there's just a lot of, you know, my metaphors may be weak, but
they're certainly abundant.
Would you like to go through that again?
All right, Mark.
I'm gonna jump on the smallest item on this whole sheet, or one of them anyways. It looks like it is the smallest. Why are we paying for the appraisal?
For the what?
The appraisal. Yeah. We haven't even made an offer.
Yeah. No, we did. We had to, in order to put the stewardship, in order to apply for the stewardship grant, you have to have a bona fide offer. Bernie...
Right here.
Why do we always pay
for the appraisal? Here's the big culprit.
They gave us two appraisals that were a year old, MIA appraisals.
But they said they wanted the appraisal.
DNR.
No, the stewardship grant people are requiring a fresh pair.
It just rubs me that it always seems as though the county has to pay for it because we're the county. And here's the bank sitting on a piece of property that if you look at its location, the most logical buyer is, of course... the county. And what are they going to do? They're going to stick us for $5,000. So keep that in mind when we ultimately get to wrapping this thing up, I guess, is my point.
Well, the appraisal will probably go down.
I don't care if it goes down. We paid for it. That's my point. And it's always, I mean, I go all the way back to Brookside, and we were looking at that house next door to Brookside, and it always seems that the county has to pay for it. And that's just isn't the way it should work. But anyways, you know, when we first started looking at KD Park, and we brought every consultant in and interviewed them before we selected a consultant to work with on that master plan. They all said to a team, what about the property next door? What about the property next door? What about the property next door? So there, and the committee has looked at that from day one as well. There is a very strong argument for including this acreage in the plan, and I think, of course, anytime you can get it at a decent price, it makes sense. At the same time, you know, we're talking about an expense here to make that happen, and we also then take property off the tax roll. So all of that has to be recognized. You run through your scenario here and get us down to a $500,000 cash flow, I guess, right, which is out of ways, and you make some assumptions in here. I don't take exception to any of your assumptions necessarily, but the bottom line is we're not talking about necessarily building any buildings anytime soon, whether it be Fox Lake Park or KD Park maintenance facility, any of that. So the truth of the matter is you're looking at about a half a million dollar, and of course if we can do something to improve that number, you're looking at $500,000 expense to add what is 100 acres, right? And I think what's more realistic is the 100 and, what do you got here? About $100,000 in actual immediate available revenue on the asphalt and the concrete crushing.
I was going to say, the other plan I didn't make was on that part alone, to use the asphalt, we would substantially use up almost all of that, which would, one, clean up the site, and two, it would could be used to construct Highway F right there.
But, you know, even Highway F, I think, is, we're not talking about doing Highway F anytime soon either. Where's that in our CIP?
It isn't, but the reason it isn't is because it was pretty much pie in the sky. The fact is that this is the northernmost tip of the Round Lake District monies, of which we have over the years struggled to come up with projects that fall in the district to use that money for that brings any real value to the community. This would be, from my initial conversations with Gary, those monies would be available to do this type of project.
And my only point is I'm trying to be realistic about what's before us immediately. And I think you could certainly crush that concrete and asphalt and sell it in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be looking at a $400,000 expense. Everything else after that is somewhere out in the future. Maybe it's a year, maybe it's two, maybe it's five, maybe it's ten. So I don't want to get too caught up in what that does. So at the end of the day, and again, you're assuming you get the stewardship grants. Then you're,
correct.
You're,
if the stewardship grants...
You're talking about a $400,000 expense to pick up the 100-some-odd acres and include it in this park, which I think when you then look at the wildlife preserve across the street on the other side of KD, I think you've got you know, a heck of a corridor here.
It's a, I can't remember how, John, you know how big the New Munster property is?
Yeah, that, we've had that number, but I don't recall what that number
it's
is.
It's a substantial amount of green space that's preserved going forward.
So I just want to, you know, talk about what's, what would be today. Today is going to be $500,000. I would think within a year you could be, you could cut that to $400,000 with that, if you were to sell that concrete and asphalt. I certainly wouldn't advocate crushing it or leaving it there, waiting for F to go through, because you just don't know when it's going to happen. I think you need to, if you're going to go forward with this plan, you need to crush that concrete and asphalt, sell it, and recoup that money immediately. That would be my thought on that. Thank you.
You apply for the grant, and then from, if you get the grant, then it's a go. That's it?
If we get the grant,
that's what I mean.
If we were to get the grant, we have to come back to all the committees again to accept the grant and actually authorize
That's what I.
On those lots that you mentioned in Parcel 4, how soon are those going to be ready to be put back on the market and get back into tax roll? 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the road?
It's really going to be contingent on
How many lots is that going to be? One, two?
It could be two, it could be four. I mean, there's about, I think when I did the math, it was about 3 to 4 acres, closer to 4 acres on either side of the road.
And then after F is completed, that's when we're going to start marketing.
That's ideally when they would put
it. Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
John?
You said you've been talking to, who's been talking to Tolmer?
Yes.
In Lake Geneva?
Yes. I think their base is in Burlington. I'm not sure.
Well, did they pick it up? My question is, did they pick up this land from First Banking Center when they took over First Banking Center?
Yes, they are First Banking Center.
They are.
Okay.
They're the successor of First Banking
Center. They bought all their bad debt.
I'm not sure how they got it.
Well, I'm dealing with them on another property on Carroll Beach, and they got a lot of property along with the deal of taking over the bank and keeping it open. And but they got some caveats, my understanding is, to protect them. So I don't know if how in depth you've gone in that respect.
They explained that, well, we asked them for a donation, okay?
What I'm saying is either they want top dollar for it.
We started off at zero.
Okay.
And then they said they were under an FDIC order and they had to have a reasonable price for the lands that they sold, even if they took them on foreclosure. And so, but they didn't horse around too much. It was a pretty fast negotiation. They were willing to give it to us at distress price sales, which for them was about $75,000. I did
75%.
75%, which is $810,000. But that $810,000 is less than what they got it for at the foreclosure sale, the sheriff's sale that was approved by the circuit court as reasonable in amount. They got that for $854,000 for the three parcels, not the fourth one. And it was appraised out at over $1 million for the three parcels, not the fourth one. And then the assessment on all four is over $1 million. So we're getting this window of opportunity is at a reduced sale, but not at a giveaway sale, because they're under the FDIC order to be reasonable, commercially reasonable. Did I answer your question?
That helps. Yeah.
Well, yes. It just, and the other thing is, the money, this grant money is coming from where?
The what?
The money that the 300 some thousand.
The grant money.
Right. Where's that money coming from?
Wisconsin.
From the taxpayer.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Just so we.
They're going to give
grant money. Doesn't just we always think it's somebody else's money, but it's ours, right?
We give it to the state, they give it back.
Okay.
What if it goes to northern Wisconsin versus northern Wisconsin?
Yeah. Okay.
Somebody's going to get it, right?
thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's been a couple comments and questions about the tax rolls. Bernie, if I'm correct, when you gave the numbers the other night on Monday night, it added up to about, $7,000 or $8,000 for those?
For the farmland?
Yes.
Yeah, the farmland agricultural values were pretty low in tax generating ability.
Yeah. Yeah, for it was like for all four of those parcels.
Oh, because for the northern two, it was pretty small.
Really small, yeah. And I think the biggest one was the one with the farm on it, but I think that one was only still about $5,000.
That one was pretty small too. The biggest one was the one with the building on it.
Right.
And that one was probably wouldn't be valued the same way today, because I don't know how they could market that. They had a real high price on that for assessment, and. Yeah, so they had a lot of taxes. That was M2, manufacturing 2, on that zoning. So that was up there.
$9,686.
There you go. So it's really not, for those four parcels, it's not really that much to put back on the taxes. And I think the pond property, that Pond Lake Road property, we could probably sell four or five, because those are zoned such that the lots have to be 1 acre in size.
Yeah.
I think it's a very conservative value. Sure. We'll get that money out of there. It's a real attractive spot. And they wouldn't. The bank wouldn't be able to sell that at distressed prices because they figure it's close to the road, and they could market that just as it is right now for residential purposes. But the reason that they can do it is because they're packaging this all these four lots together. Yes. So that's what we're getting at about half price, I think.
All right, further discussion on the resolution?
I move approval that they can proceed with the grant application.
All right, motion by Supervisor Molinaro, second by Supervisor O'Day to authorize application for the grant. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It passes unanimously, and if you want the time game, it's
8:44.
744.
For 7.
Sorry. Takes two of us to tell right. time.
It's only money.
One take the big hand, one take the little hand. From there.
Right. Very good. All right, we'll go on to the next item, and that's a public works, and
this
that's
a PowerPoint presentation.
All right.
Wow. That's pretty nice.
That's 2D?
Yeah. Water Utility has requested an easement for their outfall structure that runs somewhere through here, but the outfall itself is located here south of the Anderson Mansion. I always call it Kemper property, but it's county property.
Mm-hmm.
What we're looking at is, Bernie calls it a non-exclusive lease.
Non-exclusive easement for 99 years to... They're going to build us this road where the yellow is. There was a driveway there before, but it's fallen into disrepair. They had it. They've been using it through a letter of entry we gave them some years ago, but they want to kind of firm it up as a limited easement. So we're willing to do that. They're willing to pave it for us. And
the city?
The city. White.
Get the money first.
No, it's the white. What is the water utility?
Yes. Oh, yes. We have plenty of money there.
We have good relations with the water.
I think their main part of maintenance is down here in front. The lake washes in, usually it rolls the gravel and rocks in front of the structure, which is just a little bit higher elevation than the lake itself, and it builds a dam across there. And I believe they go in there 3-4 times a year. They have to get right down into here with a loader to shovel that out, and they also have to bring dump trucks in. But what they're proposing is to widen this road to 12 foot. In some places it's 8 foot and some a little bit more, but it's very deteriorated and broken up. So they're going to put in a new apron, a new sidewalk, and they're going to build a 12 foot wide driveway for us with built to Gary Simpson's specifications, so it's pretty close to the base and everything required on our county highway.
What do the neighbors think?
When it gets to this point right here as well, they're going to build the first, I believe it's 300 foot of a bike trail walking path that's going to follow all the way down here to here eventually along the Kemper Lakeshore, which will be public access. They're going to gate this down in here so that folks on their bikes can't get down to this outfall structure, and I know some folks that have been down there and saw it, it's pretty rough down in there. And anybody that goes flying down there on a bike is probably going to get hurt. They will sign everything with bike trail signs and everything else. Like I said, that's an exchange for the easement. It was a 99-year lease for a dollar, which is, I think, is pretty standard, or easement, I'm sorry. Other than that, I know the water utility is great to work with. We've always had real good experiences with them in the past in our dealings. So I don't know if you have any other questions.
All right, any other discussion or question?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Supervisor Frederick motion, and the second by Supervisor Kubicki. Further discussion?
Just one quick question. Why is such a large footprint for that easement and the shape of the road? Why such a large footprint for the easement?
Well, the road kind of wanders. And
well, that's the second part of the question. Why does it wander?
That's what's wrong with that.
It's an existing roadway, which is a blacktop.
It's already there.
It is existing.
It is existing.
I think it goes into history.
There was
a carriage house or something back
there. The carriage house was there.
They
burned it down.
But that's why the shape is the way it is.
It is a roadway. It's not quite as wide as what you have on that. And it's pretty bad repair.
Thank you.
Potholes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you, and that passes. We'll move on then to the next item, which are a series of personnel. Thank you for coming. Personnel issues, and Bob, you're going to take that?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Division of Personnel Services is presenting three resolutions similar to ones you have seen in the past. They all perform essentially the same function. So I will request that you act on them individually because they each and a relationship with individual local unions. At the time Act 10 was passed last year, it rendered our contracts dissolved at their expiration. Three of our contracts are expiring at the end of this year. They are Local 168, SEIU, maintenance and custodial workers, Local 990, which is an AFSCME unit for courthouse and social services clerical employees, and Local 1392, institutions, which is for our outside employees. Each one of those contracts has a clause in it that says that it requires one or more parties to notify the other if it intends to terminate the contract. And although it's probably not really required in light of the law, it is a secondary move, which is for the protection of the county to fulfill our end of the contract by notifying the union that we're going to have, according to law, contracts terminate. And then we will be negotiating new, much more streamlined contracts with them going into the new year. So because the board engages in the contractual obligation on behalf of the county, so we'll need the board to act to terminate those contracts.
Questions, discussion?
I'd move 14, 15, and 16.
Second.
There are second from Supervisor O'Day, second in proposal by Supervisor Molinaro. And this is for 2013, you said that's the contract?
They end this year, December 31st.
All right. Further discussion?
By law, though, they end anyway, don't they?
Yes. Yeah, this is a...
If we did nothing, it would still end. But
that's correct.
Yeah.
And this is a formality required by the...
There's a clause in the contract that the Full Corporation Council recommended that we respect and take action on behalf of protection.
All right, satisfactory with that we vote on all three together?
Yeah, that'll be fine.
That's all right. All right, then we're voting on these three terminations. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Unanimously.
I'll just give you all three resolutions.
All right. And then finally, the discussion on the grievance process.
You, as members of the administration / finance committee, are responsible for hearing grievances on behalf of unions which continue to exist in the county in this year, and we'll be hearing two of them at your next meeting. And so in advance of that, I'm sharing with you a process for grievance hearings by this committee that was established early in the 2000s by the committee, which was seated at the time. It's not changed. And I thought I'd just run through it with you in advance of next month's grievance hearings. And if you have questions tonight, or if you think of questions anytime between now and next month, please don't hesitate to call us. The process is pretty much a short presentation of about 10 minutes by each party, of no more than 10 minutes. The opportunity to rebut of no more than 3 minutes. Questions by the committee of either party. And then the adjournment of the hearing. The committee then goes into closed session, or what's called executive session, to consider its action, votes in executive session on what it's going to do. And then the final vote appears in the minutes where they are posted on the county's website. The union is notified by my office the next morning of the decision of the committee. So we have it. Well, Brooke, who's the director of the center?
They're not trying to tell you something about it.
Well, Bob, I appreciate all you've done.
There's a grievance procedure.
Is he appearing tonight?
Oh, God, help us.
So anyway, I'm bringing this to your attention so that I know how it's going to go next month. And if you have any questions, please ask me now, or we'll do it later. But as you can see, this has been in place for at least more than 10.
What? Three grievances from all, like, different grievances? All going to be heard separately?
There are two grievances. One is a discipline of an island clerical employee. And the second one involves the termination of Brookside. So those are both pretty serious from the perspective of the union. And the unions who have contracts left in place, including the Brookside and Brookside employees, have access to the grievance process in their contract, and that involves you as step three. County brought action against both of the employees, and so it has been through my office, and of course we've upheld. So it would be up to you to hear and either uphold our action or reverse our action.
Obviously, the discharge employees is out right now, right?
Yes.
Well, how long ago did that happen?
3 weeks.
Okay.
So we'll be getting. We decided mutually to hold off on both hearings until the week they get.
So we'll be getting information on it.
That will come in your back.
Just from my knowledge, Bob, is this you're talking about somebody at Brookside, and the only reason I'm asking this is because I'm on the Brookside trustees. We had a meeting Monday, and I mean nothing like this has ever been brought out. I don't know if it is supposed to or not at a trustee meeting.
It is not.
So if it had been, that's not something that they're.
No,
involved.
Okay. Okay. And it's a county relationship with the union. Mm-hmm. This is governed by the Board of Trustees.
Good. Okay. I want to do it.
Are you asking us to adopt this then as the procedure?
I'm asking you to review it and ask questions for proposed changes. But be prepared to hear your first grievance month from today.
Don't you think we should pass this, though? Pass it or amend it, rather than...
It's already part of the board policy.
Yeah, it is.
This was passed years ago.
Okay. What do you usually handle it before at the beginning of the meeting?
Do you want to put this on at the beginning or the end of the meeting once you're quiet?
Earlier or session for the end of the meeting.
I mean, we have done that. We certainly put it at the beginning if we so desire.
That's up to you, Mr. Chairman. They have a tendency, when they can take up to a half hour piece, we might be asking other guests tonight.
What is the committee's pleasure? I mean, you can do it at the beginning, well, any place you want, but.
Well, if we do it, maybe we could maybe be a little earlier and do it, get it over with at the beginning of the meeting. Otherwise, people are going to be sitting around in a block for our regular meeting. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, or the end.
Well, it's historically been at the end. If you put it up at the beginning, all closed sessions are historically at the end. If you put it to the beginning, you're going to have an awful lot more staff and people potentially here for the regular meetings waiting.
Forever.
Yeah. It's a matter of inconvenience, I guess. Right. I'd rather see it at the end.
Yeah. Right.
If we could shorten the time, I'd be okay at the beginning.
All right, we'll just continue with the end then. All right, that's very good. Thank you. That concludes the agenda. The bills have been circulated.
I don't have the record for the bills, so we can just bring that in at the next meeting.
All right. Any other business, Bob?
Yeah, and I apologize that I brought this up under supervisor comments when I got here, if I was on time. But two things. One, meeting schedule. Do we have a schedule out for the year yet? I know it's a Thursday before the second meeting, right? I'd like to take a look at the budget hearing calendar and what you project it to be right now, so that maybe the committee can weigh in on it.
Maybe early. In June we can look at that.
And that would be fine. The earlier the better. And then a second point is we spent an awful lot of time in the looking at the contracting policy, which took years to get it to, I guess, to finally where it was. And we still spent an awful lot of time in the Finance Committee and in the Executive Committee moving that final policy to the County Board for approval. One of the points of contention throughout that discussion, and the reason it took as long as it did is because there was an awful lot of discussion, Dave, you can attest to this, around the change order process or the expenditure of dollars on construction projects without going through the process or the approval process as some thought was necessary because there was always money in the budget. In other words, what we budget is X number of dollars, and I've said this before, we always seem to come in below those budgets, and then we end up with money left over, and we always seem to find a way to spend it. So one of the first projects that happened once that policy was put in place is putting the equipment in the county board chamber. And first meeting we come to, and all that electrical that was in the floor has been removed. I'm not aware, under any discussion, and I attended a significant number of those IT committee meetings and had reports on it, that we were ever removing that electrical. So I'm asking the chairman of the Finance Committee, because the IT committee or steering committee, whatever it was called, is no longer in place, and maybe through Dave in his office we can get some answers. I know what I've been told to date, and I don't like any of the answers. So the first thing, when I brought it up with the chairman, he indicated that we had money left in that budget, so we were going to pull all that electrical out. Now, you notice there's no electrical under those desks any longer. So if you want to plug something in, I have no idea why we had to spend thousands. It had to be thousands of dollars to get that stuff pulled out of there. So that is totally contrary to our policy. I don't know how unilaterally someone or we can make that decision if it was in fact made. If it's part of the project scope, it's part of the project scope. I'm not the only one who asked the question. Another supervisor asked the question and was told that he could do whatever he wanted. That is not the case. IT is IT. That is what was approved. And we certainly didn't approve, as my recollection, electrical work to rearrange that chamber.
And there's no electrical work under the desk if we ever wanted to plug anything in?
Nothing's there now. We don't plug stuff in very often, and that's somewhat irrelevant, I guess, to the point. I agree with you and the question you're asking. To me, the relevancy is, once again, here we are, just, you know, we have money left over, we find something to spend it on. If I'm wrong, I'd just like to know that is all I'm asking. That's all I have.
So I can't answer the question. I just want to make sure it's clear so I can check into it. The question relates to removal of the electrical under the desks in the county board chambers, right?
And the question was that part of the original budgeted based on work scope and bidding? Not just, it was part of it because we had money left.
But it relates to this, right?
Correct.
And did that wear and come up through the floor or what?
Yeah.
There's a round metal plates there.
Yeah, I've seen the plate,
but they're there.
In Illinois, the code is you can't leave an outlet upward that.
There was a question about the steering committee, if you'd like. We do have an IT steering committee, and I could have that on the docket and flush it out there, and then after that, bring that report back to committee.
Yeah, and I'm talking about that committee that was assembled to specifically look at the county board chamber infrastructure.
Disassembled. You didn't mean this IT.
No,
I
didn't.
We can just do this straight away. And I think it's Marty is the one I would point of contact. Is that right, or Carl?
I would think so.
Okay. I'll ask about that.
All right. Any further discussion?
No, thank you.
All right. If not, motion adjourned. Supervisor Ordain and second by Supervisor Kubicki. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
We are adjourned. And if you haven't signed up on these resolutions, please do so.
I think we signed them all.
You got it? You got everything signed?
Do we have anything left?
There you go.
One for the road.
Good, how you doing?
I'm going to go look upstairs.
I didn't notice that.
Grass spaces in between. Now they're paving it all in.
Oh, I see.